News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Good morning. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Erin McNutt, joined as always by Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. If you have a question or just want to know a little bit more information about anything to do with your garden, you can give us a call at 1-877-332-8255. That same number can also be used to get us over the text line as well. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Erin.
Looks like a pretty good day today before we go into that weird stormy weather we're looking forward to tomorrow.
Well, I think everybody who's put their patio furniture out for the season better tie it down today.
Yes. Maybe take the cushions off, too.
Take the cushions off because it might be in the neighbor's yard tomorrow.
Oh, definitely. It sounds like it's going to be quite the turnaround for tomorrow.
Yeah. It sounds like 80K or plus winds right across the province. So, yeah, so tie everything down.
Yep. And we were talking a little bit off air here about Gardenscape. How's it a little bit different this year?
Yeah, this could be the second year in a row that we haven't had an actual Gardenscape, which is a big garden show in Saskatoon. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the largest garden shows in Canada. It used to be anyways.
but now it's online.
But now it's online. So it's all gone virtual. And so we put together a bunch of people from the industry. I put together some free seminars that you can go on to Prairieland Exhibition or Gardenscape, Saskatoon Prairieland Exhibition or Gardenscape websites, and you can check it out. We're going to have some free seminars in there going to be happening, and one of them is going to be about Jackie Bantle. It's going to be at the University of Saskatchewan. It's going to be talking about vegetable gardening and the basics of that. Jared Regeer is going to be talking about tools and techniques for vegetable gardening. Noel from the Gardener for the Prairie is going to be talking about food preservation. So a lot of information there. And then I did a little seminar about pruning.
Okay.
If you want to learn about pruning and that kind of stuff, either you can check out that one there. And also, my daughter Jill did caring for tropical plants and also container gardening basics.
Oh, perfect.
And then there's another one going to be coming on there about composting as well. So you can check that out, and also what's going to be neat about this one also is that last October, Erin, mm-hmm. we planted a whole Gardenscape. The group planted a whole bunch of, like we do every year, a bunch of 6-inch pots with 4 or 5 bulbs in each pot, so I guess 3 to 5 bulbs in each pot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's tulips, daffodils, and hyacinths, and those kind of things. And we have those for the gardens, right? So
yeah.
Anticipating that we're going to have a show again. Well, we didn't have the show, obviously. So we had all these pots and the coolers and getting ready to forest and having for everybody have that great look of spring
yeah.
at the Gardenscape. And so we're teaming up with at Dutch Growers in Saskatoon. We're teaming up with the Prairie Land Exhibition and selling these forest bulbs. And then some of the proceeds are going to go to this chocolate cure, which is something that we're affiliated with through the Garden Center and the Saskatoon Cancer Center. And so some money will be going toward that. So we're selling those online, and you can check it online, or you can check it, come up to the Garden Center and pick those up. And I think there's about 1,600 pots.
Oh, wow.
So we have
a lot of options there.
and we've already sold, because everybody's been getting on this. We've
yeah.
already sold, just started with it, and we already sold a third of them.
Oh, wow. So you really got to get in there quickly if you want one.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just in time for Easter as well. So you have these forest bulbs, and then what you can do with these forest bulbs is you can enjoy them inside the house. And after that, the leaves will come out, and then you can just enjoy them as a house plant, and then plant them out in the garden in the spring. And then every year you'll just have this reminder of spring in your yard with all these tulip bulbs or flowering bulbs coming up in your yard.
I love it. What a great way to kind of go into spring.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a great way to get a piece of spring, and just because we're all hungry. We're all hungry right now.
Oh, yeah.
For a bit of spring and some of that spring flowers, especially the tulips and the daffodils and the hyacinths. I mean, it gives you that just that itch to get out into the dirt.
Oh, I think any taste of spring, like even when we just see, you know, it gets to 4 or 5 degrees out, you start seeing people, you know, getting a little more outside and just sort of enjoying it while they can, because you never
yeah.
know in spring in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, and then also, Erin, I wanted to tell everybody about it. Think about your local horticulture societies.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them right now, even the Saskatoon Horticultural Society has a little check out their Facebook or the website. They're doing a little fundraiser as well for selling little bee houses for the solitary bees, and then also some cherry pitters. And there's lots of information they have in the Regina, also in the Saskatoon and the Regina Horticulture Societies. You can check out their websites or Facebooks. They got a whole bunch of things on container gardening and composting and all those kind of things. So it's a way you can get connected with your local horticultural gardeners and people that are just have passion about gardening in your area. And it could be in Yorkton, it could be in North Battleford, Swift Current, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You all have local horticulture societies that they have all kinds of things that they're gearing up for spring as well.
Definitely a good resource to check out while you're kind of getting everything going for the year. We have Paul waiting for us on the line, so we'll get to him. We won't make him wait too long. Paul, good morning. What's your question for Rick?
Oh, hey, Rick. Thanks for taking my call. I'm noticing now that the snow is going. I got some weeds taking over part of my lawn. Now, I understand you use corn gluten. That's your best product. How long do I reseed my grass, or how long after I put the corn gluten down can I reseed, or do I?
And that's the problem. If your lawn's to that point where you need to reseed, you're not going to be able to reseed with corn gluten down, okay? Because corn gluten is a pre-emergent herbicide, so it'll stop the seeds from germinating as well from your grass. Okay, so stop the weeds, and it could be there up to 2 years.
Oh, can I put dirt over top of the corn gluten and then reseed? Or
you could, yes, that'd be a way to do it, so that the corn gluten is not around the actual seed, and then it'll be able to get started. Because then after it only stops it from germinating. After it germinates and the roots are out, the corn gluten actually acts as a fertilizer for the new seed. Okay.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
So yeah, you will definitely have to put a little top dress of soil so that the soil seeds are not in contact with the corn gluten at all.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here in just a moment, and then we'll get to some texts that we have popping up just now. If you have any questions for Rick Van Dyvendyk, you can give us a call or a text. It's all one number, 1-877-332-8255. I'm Erin McNaught. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Good morning. This is Garden Talk. I'm Erin McNutt here, as always, with Rick Van Dyvendyk from Dutch Growers. If you have a question for Rick, you can give us a call or text at 1-877-332-8255. Rick, it looks like we're going to be really busy here for the next little bit. We have Tim, who's been waiting on the line since about the start of the commercial break, so we won't make him wait any longer. Tim, what's your question for Rick this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just wondering when the guy should start to prune his rose bushes back.
Oh, any time, as long as if your roses are still covered up, like if you have tender roses.
No, I don't.
Wait. Okay. Then if you do, then you want to wait until you uncover your plants, and it's too early to do that yet. You're not going to do that until around another couple weeks yet to uncover. But if you just got the hardy roses, you can start pruning them any time now. As long as your plants obviously are out from underneath the snow, you can get out there and do some pruning. Now is the best time to prune those type of shrubs right now.
Okay, and how far down should a guy prune them?
Well, you want to trim them back at least 25%, and you can go down to one-third as well. And some people, I even go down to one-half,
okay.
depending on the variety and the size of your rose, right? But when you do that pruning, you're going to get a lot more roses this next spring.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Have yourself a good day.
Thanks, Tim.
Bye.
All right. We have a few texts to get to here. We'll start off with Karen in Saskatoon is wondering, they're going to be moving to an acreage late May from Saskatoon. The question is, can they take slip/cutting of all of their trees and shrubs in the yard, put them in water to root, then transplant them on the new property? They have pussy willow trees, a silver willow, Norkent apple, a double flowering plum, and a couple of others. What should they be doing to get the best results?
Yeah, the willows and poplars. You can do that. You can even do that with hardwood cuttings with lilac.
Okay.
But your double flowering plum, that's a tough one. That one's even hard to get to go from a softwood cutting, let alone a hardwood cutting.
Okay.
And so that one won't work. You're not going to be able to do that one. And other shrubs is going to be tougher. They mostly go from softwood cuttings, which you need to take new growth as new growth comes.
Okay.
So if you're in the yard still when, you know, when you get to, you know, around June the 1st or so, then you can take cuttings and actually root them. But the hardwood cuttings, you can do lilac, dogwood, some of the more harder, cranberry sometimes works. But, and the trees, the willow, no problem. But the rest of the trees, like the apple tree won't work. You have to do, apple trees are budded onto hardy rootstock, so you'll end up just going to your local garden center and picking up a new plant for that one.
Okay. We have one from Kyle in Sled Lake wondering, what is the best way to get rid of fruit flies in my plant room?
Oh, real simple. Just get some, get some vinegar.
Okay.
And a little drop of soap on top of the vinegar in a cup and put a little cellophane over top, saran wrap over top of it, and poke some holes in it, and you'll catch all kinds of those fruit flies.
Oh, perfect. Easy enough.
Yeah. And if it's fungus gnats, which it might be as well, okay, not just fruit flies, it's fungus gnats, then the best way for that one is put a piece of potato, slice a potato on top of the soil, and then every couple of days replace that piece of potato, because you pick it up, you'll see all the little maggots and the little worms on top of the soil.
Mm-hmm.
Take a little spoon, scoop whatever's on top of the soil, and put a new piece down there. And you can also use a yellow fly sticky traps, and that'll catch the adults. But the adults really don't do anything. They just fly around and annoy you when you're having breakfast.
They're just annoying.
They're just annoying. It's a little worm that goes and eats on the little roots and everything else in the top inch and a half. So, and that's one thing, too, is just making sure that you dry out the top inch and a half, and then the fungus gnats won't like that plant very much if the top inch and a half is dried out before you water again.
Okay. We have a question here about Saskatoons. Looking for recommendations for good-tasting varieties of dwarf Saskatoons.
The only dwarf Saskatoon that's really around that's hardy for this area is one called Smoky.
Okay.
It'll get about 6 to 8 feet. The rest of them will get about 12 feet tall. And the ones I like that are even that are tall is Thiessen. Martin is probably the one of the biggest ones, developed by Dieter Martin out in Langham, Saskatchewan. And that one's probably one of the largest berries. And then there's a few other ones. So you have North Line and you have Honeywood, and there's a few more out there as well. But if you want the shortest one, it'd be Smoky.
Okay, and still a pretty sizable plant, but in terms of kind of their other varieties, that's the smallest one you're going to get.
And you know what, Aaron, the reason why they're asking for short one is because they don't want to get a ladder to pick all the berries at the top. The robins get them all, right? So what you have to do is just that every few years, this time of the year, right in March, just prune them down and keep them at the 6 foot size.
Okay,
get 12 feet tall. So it's something you can do every year, and you do it right in March, right about now.
A little extra work, but probably worth it kind of toward the end of the season.
Yep, and then you'll have all the berries closer to the ground.
Perfect. We have James just joining us on the line. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
What's your question for Rick today?
Hey, well, I have a large tamarack, and we do in our backyard, and it's kind of overpowering our deck because it's so big. Is it okay to prune the lower branches at this time of the year or any time?
Yeah, actually, this is a good time of the year to prune them, or otherwise you can do it again in July and August, okay? Just not when it's pushing out all its new growth. That's when you don't want to do it.
Okay.
So either soon, like in March still, or otherwise wait until basically July or August, and then you can prune the bottom branches up, or you can take the side branches in a little bit, you know, just to be able to get it under control.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, James.
Yeah, have a good day.
You too.
Okay.
All right. We do have a question on the text line here that I'm kind of curious about, too. So we'll dive in here. It's from Larry in Saskatoon. Just wondering where you got all your plant knowledge from, and if you might have any recommendations for someone looking to go into horticulture.
Yeah, there's where I got mine is I had a great professor, and that professor was one of the pioneers of horticulture. It was my father. And my mother. So both of them. That's where I learned all mine, just living
the tools
at,
of the
living
trade.
Living at the garden center from birth, basically.
an immersion course.
Yeah, we lived right, I was basically born at St. Paul's Hospital in Saskatoon and then lived my whole life at the Garden Center. So that's how I learned everything.
Hard to avoid it if you're spending that much time there.
Yeah, no, that was my learning. But there is all kinds of even online learning. Both the University of Saskatchewan has online learning. I think University of Regina has online learning for some horticulture classes. Olds College in Olds, Alberta has another great online learning or in-person learning once we get past the COVID part again.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of, and there's also the Master Gardeners. The Master Gardeners have some programs going on both in Saskatoon and Regina and everywhere else. So check out Master Gardeners, and there's lots of good classes that you can take to become a gardener and learning more about the passion about horticulture and those kind of things as well.
Not a bad deal. And it's so nice to be able to do a few of these things online and kind of practice on your own at home a little bit too.
Yeah, actually, it's everybody's really getting into more of the gardening thing, and it's fun, it's therapeutic, it's relaxing, it's just a way to either start your day or end your day or be in all day.
Yeah.
Whether you're retired or working from home or whatever, there's a lot of things you can do in the garden that just it just makes the day.
And it's a great excuse to spend a lot of time outside in the summer, which I always liked.
And you know what? We're all talking about food security and the whole of passion of growing and the satisfaction of growing your own food, knowing where it came from, knowing what pesticides were put on it, et cetera, et cetera. Just having the satisfaction of going out into the deck or into the ground in your backyard and picking that fresh potato or carrot or tomato or whatever is.
Yep.
There's just nothing better.
There is nothing better than no better taste than that fresh garden veggie.
Exactly.
We have a question from Kate here. My husband cut our dwarf lilac shrub right down to the ground, like 2 inches. Will it come back? And if so, how long until it will flower again?
Oh, it'll come back like a vengeance. It'll come back big time. Just fertilize it every 3 weeks, okay, starting around May the 10th and stop around July the 15th. And fertilize it, every 3 weeks. And about that size of a plant, usually give it about 2 liters of water mixed with a fertilizer.
Okay.
And you can use a 20-20-20, a 30-10-10, or an organic fertilizer. Doesn't really matter for that. It'll put lots of growth. You may get some flowers next year, the following year, but you'll get a lot of blooms, a huge amount of blooms the year after that.
Okay, so just give it a little bit of time and it'll be back.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we have one quick one before we go to news. Judy in the Fort Capel area is asking, when should I take coverings off of cedars and shrubs?
Oh, wait until you can actually take a piece of rebar or a garden fork or whatever and stick it into the soil around the plant down to about 12 inches depth.
Oh, okay.
So the frost is out of the ground.
So we'll have to wait a little bit longer for that, I think.
If you take it off now, now's the time when they take the most damage. When the sun is getting warmer, you know, like we had, you know, we're supposed to have whatever, 12, 13 degrees. And last week we had almost 16 degrees in some places in the province. And the ground is still frozen. They can't take moisture up, and that's when they desiccate. So now's the critical time not to take it off.
So maybe wait a little bit longer.
A little bit longer until you can start watering your plants, basically. And even if you take a pail out and water them, if the frost is on the ground, that's when you want to wait until you can do that.
Perfect. We will keep taking your calls and texts right here at 1-877-332-8255. We'll just break for news here now. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Good morning. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Erin McNutt. If you have any questions for Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers, you can give us a call or text at 1-877-332-8255. We had a call waiting here from Yvonne, but it looks like we've lost that call. Not sure if it was maybe we just ran a little bit long here on commercials and lost her. But we do have some texts to answer, Rick. So we will dive right in. This is from Kim in Colonze. I will have to move some lilacs the first week of May. Do you think they'll survive?
The first week of May, if you can do them earlier, the better. Because what happens is that you want to, the best thing to do if you're going to move them is prune them right now. prune them down in half basically right now. And then that way there won't be so much, there won't be some stress when they start to bud out when you prune them later. You won't have flowers this year, but at least the plant, if you cut them in half right now, when you dig them up, you won't have as much top to be able to support when you move them for the root system. So if you have to do it, I would suggest do that now. And if you want, if you can, the best thing to do is to dig it up and put it into a pot when it's still dormant. As soon as the ground is out of frost out of the ground, dig it, put it into a pot, and then you can store it in the yard somewhere until keep it watered until you're ready to move it, and then you can transplant it then. That'd be the best way to do it rather than waiting it for it to fully leaf out and then moving it.
Okay. Looks like we have a note here from Yvonne, who was on hold with us through the break there for news. Just curious whether strawberries winter better in raised gardens or a barrel?
Neither one, unless the barrel you can bring inside.
Okay.
In the garage or something like that. Raised gardens is, as long as it's a large raised garden, it's not a problem.
Okay.
If it's a small raised garden, like only 12 inches wide or something like that, you know, then the frost, horizontal frost can get into the, onto the root zone, and then they won't survive. So if it's a large raised garden, not a problem. You know, like I'm talking about large, which means 3 feet wide or larger, then you won't have a problem in one. But a barrel, unless you bring it indoors, it just won't have a chance.
All right. We have Ray waiting for us on the line. Good morning, Ray. What's your question for Rick?
Hi. We have an apple tree that's about 5-6 years old, and it's about 12 feet tall. We're wondering, should we be trimming it at the top, or is there anything a person should be doing?
Yeah, now is a great time to prune the apple trees, all the fruit trees. It's a good, great time to prune them. And what I suggest is don't top the tree, because what happens when you top the tree, everywhere you cut this next year, you're going to get what's called water spouts. So two or three branches will come out of every cut and grow about 3 to 4 feet high and great big leaves. So it takes all the energy away from the tree. So the best thing to do is that those top branches is that if you got places where it splits off and go into multiple branches, trim two of them off if you have three and leave one there, okay? And just thin the top out so you don't have as many apples at the top and lets more light in through it. But that's better than topping it. If you do decide you want to top it off, and you can, you just have to go up there again basically in June and just what it forks off to two branches again after every cut, then trim that down to one again in June.
Okay.
And then you'll have no problem. It won't take so much energy and it won't take the light away from the plant. You can do that.
Okay. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Ray. We have Joe in Prince Albert. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
What's your question for Rick today?
Wanted to know, Rick, when is a good time to trim Pocatellas?
Oh, right now.
Okay.
When's the last time you gave them a good pruning?
I have no idea. It's a new home, and I'm just sort of seeing what's being exposed in my yard from the snow leaving. So it looks like probably a long time.
So what I would suggest you do is prune them to about 12 inches off the ground.
Okay.
And the biggest thing I can tell you to do is don't be afraid.
Just go for it.
They'll be because they're probably all woody at the bottom, and they'll have a few flowers at the top. Trim them down by the middle of summertime. They'll be growing up 3 feet tall again, and there'll be all kinds of blooms on it.
Oh, great. Okay. Just another question.
Yeah.
Also, this yard there's a lot of fir trees and lots of needles. From the fir trees, is there something that I should use that would neutralize the soil for lawns, for flower beds that tend to get a lot of needles in them?
Yeah, if the flower bed is directly underneath or lawn is directly underneath the branches of the tree, basically what I suggest you do is probably start thinking about just mulching it and putting a flower pot or something like that there to keep your flowers, because the lawn and plants won't compete with the root system that's underneath those trees from the spruce tree, okay? Eventually, you'll have all kinds of problems trying to keep anything alive underneath there. But if it's just outspreading, then yes, you can take, best thing to do is take get a pH tester kit from a garden center and test the pH of the soil. If you find the pH is up above 7.4, then add lime to your soil, and that will help a lot for your for your trees. But if you find that it's down around 7, just leave it. You don't have to do anything. Just what you can do is just rake up some of the needles, just because then it's just too much of one type of compost basically there. But check the pH. If the pH is too high, add lime. That will help a lot.
Perfect. And well, lastly, then, you mentioned about the plants and the lawn won't compete with the root system.
Yep.
Typically, do I expect the root system to be about the circumference of the tree branches?
Yeah, that's what it'll be the worst. Right at the drip line is where the feeder roots mostly are. Okay, the fibrous feeder roots. So anything, even 1 or 2 feet out past the drip line of the tree, you'll have a lot of roots from that spruce tree.
Okay. Right on. Great. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Thanks, Joe. Have a good day.
You too. Goodbye.
Thanks. Before we head into our next break, we can get to a couple of text messages here. We have one from Cindy in Swift Current asking, when do I cut down my Carl Foster grass for new growth?
Oh, right now. Yeah, now we've enjoyed them all winter, sticking to the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Trim them right as flush to the ground as you can.
Okay.
And that's the best way to do it, and they'll come, as soon as they start growing, they'll start fresh again. And, yeah, right now, anytime, as soon as the snow disappears, you can start cutting them back.
Okay. This one is from Tom. It says, I got 4 large cherry trees. I want to do a major trimming. How big branches can I cut, just lower ones, or do I have any... Wow, there's a lot going on here. So first off, we'll ask the first part of that question. 4 large cherry trees that they want to do major trimming. How big can the branches be cut down?
Yeah, so you can cut down fairly large branches, because what will happen with a lot of cherry trees is that they produce a lot of suckers,
okay?
Especially the sour cherries we have here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like rejuvenating the plant. So, you know, cut some of the old branches out and let new ones fill in. It might look a little lopsided for the year.
Okay.
But you can rejuvenate that way, not a problem. It'll just put new branches and fill that area in pretty quickly. So you can do that this time of the year. Perfect.
All right. And the second part of the question is, are there any saffron bulbs at the garden center?
Saffron bulbs. I think there was some there. Things have been so crazy at the garden center. I'm not sure what's there right now, but we did have some. Just have to check, phone into the garden center and check what we have right now.
Yeah, it might be worth a quick call and see what you got. All right, we're going to take a really quick break, and then we're going to get back to all of your texts and questions. You can give us a call at 1-877-332-8255. That's also the number to get a hold of us on the text line, too. You're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Erin McNutt here with Rick Van Dyvendijk from Dutch Growers. You can give us a call or a text at 1-877-332-8255. Rick, we are going to be very busy before we head to news.
Okay, wrap it around.
Yeah,
here.
Let's go quick. We have Denise in Saskatoon on the line. What's your question for Rick today?
Hi. We discovered when our snow had melted that we've had holes.
Oh, no.
We're in the city. Yeah, and then they've made quite a mess of our front yard. We left the grass a bit longer, like probably maybe 2.5-3 inches over winter, and it seems that maybe that was the problem because our neighbors have their grasses attached to ours, but they keep their short. They don't have them, but we had quite a few trails.
Yeah, you want to cut it down to about 1.75 inches or so, rather than 2 and 2.5 inches for the wintertime. That's key. And then also, if you have them now, make sure that you put out some regular snap traps with some peanut butter and a craisin or a raisin on top of it, and put it inside of a shoebox or something like that you can put some holes into. And that way the birds don't get them, and you'll catch lots of them right now.
Okay.
And you can
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, that's the way you'll get rid of them, just using those snap traps. It's the best way.
Okay, well, that's perfect. What do we do for the grass now to bring it back, or we're assuming it's probably wrecked.
Yeah, just rake it up. A lot of it will grow back in. If it's really bad, then you can just top dress with some seed, and once you get it about after into May, just top dress with some grass seed, and it'll fill in once the ground warms up, within 7 days, you'll see it starting to fill in again.
Perfect. And then to prevent them from coming back next year, other than the grass short, is there anything else we should do?
Yep. They're again starting to fall with your snap traps with a peanut butter and a craisin or raisin, and then start, especially where you've got mulch or you've got a garden shed or some things like that, or you know, compost pile, is put those traps close to those, and you'll be able to bring down your numbers for the wintertime.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you. We have Lynn waiting on the line. I think I just saw a text that was similar. I'm not sure if it's the same Lynn. But Lynn, what's your question for Rick today?
Can I buy a hellebore's plant from the grocery store and plant it in the garden, and will it rebloom?
Will it rebloom? Chances are not, but you can buy them, but the chances are it may not, putting in the garden, it may not rebloom. A lot of them will just go have one big bloom and then not rebloom back in the garden again. So that's just the nature of the plant, right? So most likely you won't get it to rebloom.
Okie dokie. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, Lynn. All right, we have lots of text to get to. People have so many questions for us today, so we'll do a bit of a rapid fire here. This one is from Amber in Clavette. How do I get my spruce trees to grow faster?
Spruce trees to grow faster?
Yeah.
Set the banquet table in May. They put all the growth in June, so get the fertilizer to the plant a couple times starting around May the 10th, and then again in 3 weeks' time.
Okay.
And then again in 3 weeks' time after that, and because spruce trees and evergreens put all their growth on pretty much in June. So just like us, you know, if we have a table of food in front of us all the time, we get a little bit larger as well.
It's true. we have April in the Creston Valley area saying, would you please refresh our memory on alfalfa cube preparation for fertilizer?
Okay, so yeah, so then just basically, if you're going to be using a lot of it, then I just put 2 cups in a 5-gallon pail of water.
Okay.
Otherwise, you can just use basically a couple teaspoons or tablespoons in a liter of water if you're just going to use some stuff inside the house. Or you can actually, if you're going to do it in the garden, you can pre-spread it out in the garden, and then I'm trying to remember the ratio now. I got it and written down somewhere. I don't have it in my head right now. But for the garden, you can put it in the garden and then rototill it in. Or you can actually put pellets in the row of seeds that you're going to put in as well.
Oh, okay.
You can't burn your plant with alfalfa pellets, okay? You can't do too much. So that's one thing that was nice about it, is that you won't burn your plants.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have Rita in Saskatoon. I put white bags with leaves around the bottoms of my rose bushes and some perennials. Should I take those bags off now?
Yeah, definitely not yet until the frost is gone. We're talking about a storm tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right across Saskatchewan, right?
So we're not quite all the way into spring yet.
Not quite yet. Wait, just like I talked about earlier about the rose plants and the cedar taking the burlap off the cedars, wait until that you can probe the soil about 12 inches down. And the frost is out of the ground, and then you can actually start watering your plant. Then you can start taking your garbage bags of leaves off your perennials.
All right. This one is from Tim. Keeping my plum tree small by pinching off new growth when I walk by. Should I maybe just do it at certain times rather than just whenever I see them?
Yeah, because best time to do is just prune this time of the year.
Okay.
Just give it a pruning every March, and then the rest of the season just leave it alone. It'll actually do really well. I mean, if you've got some branches that are, you know, they're going to be bothering you and causing problems with other plants, or maybe you're cutting the grass or whatever, yeah, you can pinch those as they grow.
Okay.
That doesn't hurt the plant at all.
All right. This one is from Dale in Regina. My carrots have been poor and small over the last few years. Try moving them to different locations, but is there something else you might recommend?
Just nutrients. Nutrients and making sure the ground's not too hard.
Okay.
Hard soil is always will cause problems with the smallness of it. So putting some gypsum in the soil or some compost in the soil will help loosen up the soil, and then you'll have a lot bigger carrots as well.
All right, perfect. This one is from Marianne in Nipawin. Can you put corn gluten around pine trees?
Yeah, absolutely. It acts as a fertilizer for the pine and stops any little weed seeds from growing underneath there, like chickweed, and that might grow well underneath the pine tree.
Okay.
So yeah, you can use corn gluten definitely there.
All right. We have a question here from Doug in Punishai. When do I uncover strawberry plants, and what can I use to help plants regrow and produce plenty of berries?
Okay, so same thing there is wait until the frost is on the ground, at least 12 inches, okay, because right now, if you uncover them right now, now is the time they'll be most vulnerable. So leave the covering on until the frost is out of the ground around the surrounding area, and then start using compost or some organic vegetable fertilizer in around the strawberries is the best way to get tons of more fruit.
All right. It looks like I may have misread a text here earlier. They're saying they're hoping to move some lilies the first week of May, not lilacs. That was my bad reading. Is apparently very difficult.
Yeah. The lilies there, again, if you know where they are and you can dig them up before that, that'd be the best thing to do. Put them into a pot and then transplant them that way. Same, no difference. If you're going to move them and they sprouted already, you have to try to grab a ball of earth with them to try not to disturb the roots too much, because otherwise they could just shrivel up and die if you disturb the roots when they've already set up their shoots already, right? But at the very beginning of May, you might be okay yet.
All right. We do have a call waiting on the line, but we'll have to take it off the air, Anne. So just stay on hold here for a sec, because this brings us to the end of the show for this week. As always, thank you so much for your texts and calls, and we'll be back next week on Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.